This is the Jeff Buckley Grace Around the World podcast. On this episode, we visit with Jeff's mother, Mary Gilbert.
Well, as Jeff's mother, I watched him perform from the time he was very, very young. He would get up in front of the fireplace, on top of the hearth, would be his little stage, and he would sing little songs and recite poetry and get lots of applause. And not that that was a running theme through his life, but that that seemed to be a part of his life always. So as a mom, I was there watching when he, at his first recital, his first cello recital, I was there to help buy him his first guitar. And when he was going to Musicians Institute and a teenager and living on his own and had belonged to lots of different bands, sort of searching out his way, I went to a lot of different kinds of places to watch him perform. So I got to watch him grow as a musician and as a performer, to grow in his awareness, grow in his stage presence, also sort of grow in his self-confidence so that he became more relaxed, and also watched him develop the ability to move through the music in a very personal way, in the moment, to sort of change it from any way he had ever rehearsed it before and do something that very few performers really learn to do, which is to create in the moment in front of the audience. That's extremely challenging, and it's walking a tight wire, you know. You can fall. Filled with music at all times. As soon as we got up in the morning, before the coffee pot was turned on, the stereo was turned on. So we had a lot of popular music, a lot of modern music. And then for me, my escape was in returning to the piano. And because of my training, much to my chagrin, I could not play jazz or extemporize or learn things by ear. I had to have a score in front of me. But that meant that the music that my children heard me play was of a classical nature, a more complex nature than what came out of the stereo very often. And frankly, the first time I introduced Jeff to Chopin was in utero, because that was, again, my refuge when I was 17 and at home and nothing else to do but gestate. I would sit my lonely butt down in front of the piano and play for hours. And as I got bigger, the closer my belly got to the fingerboard. And I imagine towards the last few weeks there, it was really hard to reach the keys. So he was pressed up against the piano pretty hard. Jeff got his first guitar when he was 14. He asked for it for Christmas, and his birthday is in November, so it was kind of a combination Christmas birthday present, because it was expensive enough it took the entire family chipping in to get it for him. And I thought it would be a great hobby for him. You know, I knew where to find him. He was in the garage with his band. You know, the house was jumping. The pictures would vibrate, and I knew where my teenage boy was, no problem. But it became quite obvious that he had a desire to become a virtuoso musician when he would take the works of highly accomplished musicians, for example, Al Di Meola in this case, and play the album over and over and over again, not just throughout one day, but day after day and week after week, until he could emulate or duplicate the virtuosity of the individual who was performing. And he did this with so many different musicians of the day. Most usually in the day that he, in his teens, was mostly jazz, Weather Report, and some of the other great jazz groups that were going on at the time. So here was my 15-year-old playing this music, and one day I went to ask him to try and turn it down because he was playing the same one over and over again. And as I stepped into the room, I looked over at the stereo and I realized that the stereo was not on, that this amazing music that I had assumed was El Demiola was actually my own 15-year-old. And it was in that moment that I had to sort of relent and admit that my boy was going to be a musician.
There was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing high.
Jeff said himself that he wanted to be a chanteuse, which is kind of a funny word to use because it's the French word for a female singer. But it also describes a sort of performer who would sit in a cabaret and be accompanied by a lone pianist or a lone guitarist or a lone accordionist, and would sing songs that would evoke deep emotions in themselves, in the listener. Edith Piaf was someone very much like that, who was able to evoke such deep feelings in her audience that she was venerated, even though she lived a very difficult life. The people loved her, and to this day she's held in extremely high regard in France because of the way she touched people through her music. I think the thing that stands out the most about Jeff's vocal work is that it comes so directly from his soul, from his being, from an unprotected, unvarnished place that is innocent of any guile or pretense or presumption, in a truly humble place where we can all sort of vibrate together in the deepest emotions that we hide, that we don't share, that we presume that no one else knows. And then you would be in the presence of this amazing artist, and he would reach down into his soul and bring out a feeling that you yourself found difficult to admit to or to engage in or to allow yourself to feel. And in that moment, his permission in that performance to feel with him that emotion allowed you to relieve yourself of that hurt or that pain, or to at least just feel alive and to be moved. I think that is one of the most remarkable things about performers like Jeff, is that he could actually move an audience to silence, to introspection, to feel things that they normally would deny themselves.
Satisfied.
as a musician myself and as someone who studied acting and aspired to be an actor myself at one time, Jeff is still one of the most courageous performers I've ever observed myself. If I had to analyze it, I'd have to say it was because of his profound humility. That when you don't have an ego to be to lose face or to be thought of as not being cool, or you know, when you don't have a standard or a reputation to be keeping up with, and when you don't buy into your own hype, then you have to be yourself. And in that moment, when you are performing and delivering who you are as a commodity, they're paying to see you, they're buying your records, you hope they do, you're doing this whole commercial thing. And the only way Jeff could sort of hang on to, or the way that he found to hang on to his own soul and the reality of his being, was not to buy into the hype, was to hang on to his humility and his sense of being human and vulnerable and geeky and not always appropriate and not always cool, and insisting upon being who he really was at all times, even with himself, even with his audience, even with the suits at Sony, even with the journalists, even with the famous people who sought him out, who wanted to shake his hand and say they knew him. That, to me, it was about his character, you know. As a mom, I used to say, fame is about popularity. It comes and goes at the whim of public opinion, which is not always well informed. But greatness, that's about character. Yeah.
For more information on Jeff Buckley and Grace Around the World, visit jeffbuckley.com. Thanks for listening.
But she cries to the clicker.